Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to be with you. And Marty and I are here on the first Sunday officially of our beginning. We actually started yesterday at the men's breakfast. Great breakfast, guys. Really appreciated it. Gave me enough energy to get through this morning, and we're excited to be here. It kind of reminds me, too, of a church. It was my second church in the state of Nebraska. And we were pastoring there on our second Sunday, and I'm still somewhat of a young pastor, and I thought it'd be a good idea to try to impress everybody. That's a mistake only young pastors make. So part of the service was to read a call to worship, usually out of Scripture, usually out of the Psalms. Great tradition in that church. Have everybody stand, and as pastor, I had that opportunity to ask people to stand and read that scripture for them and have them follow along in their bulletin. It was put in the bulletin. So I did that. Would you please stand? And I began to read. And I said, follow along with me as I read the scripture. Began to read, and there was very definite silence. And I'm going, what's going on here? You know, I'm new to the church, trying to figure all this out. People are giving me these really funny looks. Now, you're looking at me this morning. You're not looking funny like they were. They're looking at me really funny, and I'm saying to myself, I wonder what's going on. And so I said, well, let's read this together, and let's start over. So I said, now let's read, and Psalm whatever. And I began to read, and it was still silence. And they were looking at me really funny now. And it dawned on me that I'm reading last week's bulletin. So that first impression went down the drain. So I'm not trying to impress anybody today. I'm trying to help you and myself worship the Lord. Dig deeply into His Word, His love letter to us, and begin to understand something of what God has to say to us today. For this time, for this season. To do that, we really need to depend upon the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So I want to lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You delight when we come to worship You, singing, praising God, praying, reading Your Word, talking with You, listening to You, obeying You. Lord, as we continue in worship together, we thank You for meeting with us. None of us in this room are deserving. No one is, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet, through this special sacrifice of Your only Son, whom You sent to die on the cross for us, we're able, through that shed blood, to come boldly before the throne of grace. To worship You, to lift up the name of Jesus. We do that today. We ask You to guide us as we talk together from Your Word, as we listen to You. Would You help us, Lord, understand what You have for us today? So bless us and bless Olympic Evangelical Free Church, Your church, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Everyone goes through transition. In fact, organizations do, churches do, people. It doesn't matter. There are seasons that every church goes through, that everybody goes through. I think, for instance, of work transitions. Many of you in this audience have either been in the military or are now, and certainly there are transitions, particularly when you retire after 20 years or something. You got to shift gears mentally. You have to learn to do some new things differently than the way you've always done them. I think of parenting. In parenting, you have to adjust to that first child and then that second child, who's probably totally different from the first child. And then, like us, to that third child who's different from the other two. and learn how to deal with each one, how to discipline each one, how to really show love to each one in their own unique way, their own unique needs. Grandparenting also. When you enter that wonderful stage called grandparenting, new adjustments are there. Now you get to spoil the children rather than discipline them and then send them home for payback time. All come with needs. Certainly there are needs that you go through in life. And for some reason this isn't working. But can you do it back there? There are some needs that you go through and some transitions. One of them is weddings and marriages. Just happened to find this off the internet and put it up there for you. I don't know if it's on the internet yet, but it's certainly in our lives because we experienced this last week and had a joyful time in the state of Kansas as I walked my daughter, my last remaining single daughter, down the aisle and then right up on the platform where I did the ceremony. I was the first one to choke. Then came one daughter and then another daughter, and my wife said she didn't choke. I think she did. Ask her later. Times like that are seasons of transition. And I want to focus on a season of transition called interim ministry today. Today has to do with preaching from God's word, but also teaching you on what these next few months will look like with God's help and what we will experience together as we journey during this time in between pastors. And I want to do that by simply asking two very basic questions. They're simple and basic. The first one is, what do we need? The very first thing is there, we need strengthening. I want to take you to the book of Acts this morning, chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. So turn with me in your Bibles or on your smartphones, however it is, and we're going to learn something together about this season that God is calling this church to experience at this time. And in Acts chapter 16, beginning in 36, we find these words. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. There's one word that pops up here twice in this passage of Scripture. It's a wonderful study in and of itself about how to work through disagreements and how God can use that to multiply his kingdom through church planning and through missions work. But this one word I want us to focus on especially, because I believe this is something that God wants Olympic Free Church to understand today. It's the word strengthening. We need strengthening at this time. Now, as I've studied this word, I came to understand that it means to place something firmly upon something else. Another way of understanding that is to have someone or something to lean on. One of the great needs during times of transition. We need help in the form of someone and something to strengthen us. The church is no different. The church, when it goes through transitions, needs this. This is one of the beauties of what we call interim pastoral ministry, where somebody like myself can come in and help a church walk through this time of transition, strengthen the church, so that it becomes a much better church for a new pastor to come and pastor. What is the foundation of the church? If you study the scriptures, you understand that the real foundation of the church of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. It's that two-layered foundation that stands firm no matter what comes our way. The structure of the church, the people in the church may go through difficulties, may experience things that don't look so good from the outside. But understand this, that when God raises up His church, He lays the right foundation through people, and that's how this church came into being. I can assure you that when this church was planted, and by the way, every church was at one time a church plant, and this is one of them, every church has people who have been praying. Sometimes you don't even know who they are. That God somehow would raise up a new church to reach new people with the gospel. And I'm sure that was the case in this church, because my experience tells me and the Word of God instructs me that this is how a foundation is laid for a healthy church that will make and multiply disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, some churches over time lose that sense of the foundation that the church rests upon. Some begin to think that the church is all about the programs or the ministries that the church does. And when that happens, you kind of step off that firm foundation onto something that's a lot weaker. And that's a natural process that we go through. We lose sight of the cross. We lose sight of the foundation in the Word of God, in the living Word of God, and we tend to begin to move in the wrong direction. Now, this church is a really good church, and it has a good foundation. But during times of transition, we're reminded to come back and even stand more firmly upon the foundation on which it begins. Sometimes churches, particularly as they grow older, find themselves standing on the foundation of what's called the seven last words of the church. You know what they are? Let me give them to you. We've never done it this way before. Now, that may not be true of you. I don't know you as a church well enough yet. But there's a tendency to think, well, we've always done it this way, so therefore things shouldn't change, and when it does change, it's something bad has happened to the church. When I believe when you read the scriptures, you discover that that was very much a part of the church, doing new things, because God the Holy Spirit was giving new opportunities to the church that required new methods and new ministries and a new vision and new structures. And so transitions were ongoing. Now, strengthening is done through prayer and biblical instruction. That's our starting place. And you're beginning to hear that already as you look at this time. It's also done through things like evaluating where we are. How are we doing? It's done through restructuring, of taking a look at the existing ministries and structures and asking questions of those, like, are we accomplishing the mission of the church, the God-given mission of the church with this ministry? That's one of the primary functions of church leadership, by the way. It's also done through training. You will, in the days ahead, see opportunities to get some training and some good stuff that'll help you in your life and your ministry and in your church. It's done through coaching, coming alongside of, giving those words of encouragement. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing in Acts chapter 15. He was coming alongside and giving instruction again, of laying, again, making sure that foundation was firm on God's Word and teaching them and training them. And it's done through hard work by everyone. The title of today's message is All Hands on Deck. Good Navy term, isn't it? But what is meant by that, we need everybody in the church to take part in this season of transition. We need everybody working together. You see, this requires effective teamwork as well. A big part of working through transitions is to help build teams in the church rather than individuals doing their own thing or thinking that they're serving the church in a certain way. We need to work together and build effective ministry teams, and the church as a whole being a team working together to accomplish the same mission, moving in the same direction on the same foundation. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, I have a number of them, by the way, but one of the favorites is out of Exodus chapter 17. There's a story of Moses with two of his leaders, two of his top officers with him, if you will. Moses, Aaron, and Hur, the name of the three men. Now, Moses was the leader. He was the commander-in-chief, if you will, of the armies of God, the nation of Israel. The only problem was they were facing an enemy who was coming after them. By the way, churches face an enemy who is coming after you. And it requires special tactics and an understanding of what it'll take to gain the victory. And what happens here is Moses, being led of God, he listens to God, and he goes up on top of the mountain. He takes with him Aaron and Hur, and he has this huge rod that he's holding, the rod of God, and he holds it up over the armies that are fighting this nation called the Amalekites. And as long as he held that rod up over them, they were winning. But when he got tired and his arms began to droop and the rod comes down, God's army begins to lose. We understand from that text that it's a great symbol of prayer, by the way, and praying as a group, praying as a church. And Aaron and Hur, being good leaders, decided to help hold up his arms, of propping them up, using stones and using their own strength to hold his arms up so that the victory could be achieved. They worked together as a team. You see, Moses, Aaron, and Hur performed their responsibility of strengthening the people of God so that the people of God could get victory. And the Bible says in Exodus 17, as long as his arms were held up and the rod was held high, they would win, but when they dropped, they would lose. The object was to win against the enemy. And that's the object of Olympic Evangelical Free Church, to win against the enemies of God. Because you're in a battle. We're in a battle together. Strengthening, used two times in Acts chapter 15. Because we need to understand that we need strengthening as a church. And you need strengthening in your ministry, particularly if you're a ministry leader, but anyone. Because if you can't do anything else during transition, how you become part of all hands on deck is to pray. To pray consistently, regularly, fervently. And trust God that the prayers of a righteous man or woman will accomplish much. We need strengthening. The second thing we need is revitalizing. Now, revitalizing simply means to help life come back into a person or a church or something like that, to really help that. And we understand that the basis for this is the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to work in teamwork with God, the Holy Spirit, to bring life into the church. Vitality. Here's my definition of revitalization. It's helping a church discover or rediscover its own unique God-given mission or purpose and accomplish that mission through a process of planned change. There's going to be some planning going on in the next weeks and months ahead. The God-given mission is found in the Bible, and for that we turn over to the book of Matthew in this passage, chapter 22. And I just want to remind us about what's called the Great Commandment and the Great Commission that are found in the Scriptures. So if you've turned there, Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34, a short little story portion of Scripture, entirely true, inspired by the Word, by the Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit, for you and for me. But when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, those were two groups that were competing against Jesus, if you will, in His teaching, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question to test Him. "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets, to love God and to love one another." Here's the second need that we have. It's revitalization through learning to obey, perhaps once again, or rediscovering it, how to love God more and better, and how to love one another more and better. You see, the God-given mission that we have is to obey the greatest of the commandments. I'll never forget going to Disney World. It's been a long time now, but there's some rides that you can go on there. They happen to have a few at Disney World and Disneyland. This one was called the Carousel of Progress. And the idea, when it was developed by the Imagineers, they're called the Disney Engineers, it was developed to highlight the progress that our country has made, particularly in regards to the invention of electricity or the discovery of electricity as it was found in different things that helped the homemakers to do a better job and to get more accomplished and that sort of thing. So you sit and you revolve around different scenes from different parts of the last century and even the century before. Now, all is good because you're listening and you're watching and you see a lot of the history of the U.S. of A. and you see how we've progressed and gotten more busy. One thing, however, happened when we were on that ride. It got stuck right in the middle of the presentation. And we were focused on about 1940s, I think, and looking into a kitchen from the 1940s. And there was the talking behind it, you know, the imagery and explanation, and it stopped, and then it started again, and it stopped, and it started, and it stopped, and it started. It was stuck. It wasn't the Carousel of Progress at all. And people began to look around and try to figure out a way, how do we get out of this place? Because we're bored now. You know, the church can be like that so easily. The church gets stuck many times in a time in its life based upon its existing culture and the developments of that day. And people say, this is church, when it's really stuck. And I find that when you're helping churches to go through a time of revitalization, that you help a church get out of where it used to be and get it moving toward where it needs to be in order to reach new people and new generations with the never-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone has said rightly, a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission equals a great church. Do you want Olympic to be a great church? I think most of us here do, and we want to work toward that. Well, in this process, we're going to learn from the past. We're going to evaluate the present together. And then we're going to focus on the future, which is so exciting. We live in a culture and a day which is discouraging for many, but let me tell you, it's closer to the book of Acts than anything I've seen in my lifetime, and I think in the history of this country and of the world. We're getting right back there. And there's a lot of us that need to learn from that. So strengthening and revitalizing. There, that list could be a lot longer, but we don't have time. But understand, those are two great needs that we have. What do we need? Strengthening and revitalizing. Well, let's move on to the second question. What can we expect to happen during this? And there are five things that happen during an intentional interim period as we work together. I want to walk through these. I'll leave them up on the screen there so you understand where we're going and where this church will be headed, God willing, and with His help. First is connecting with people. Building relationships is the very first stage. And this generally happens in the first month or two with some very intentional meetings with many of you, or most of you. We'll be asking specific questions about your perception of this church, where it has been, where it is, and where you want to see it go. And that's part of connecting with people. There'll be other times for socializing, getting to know you, but a lot of the first month to 6 weeks has to do with setting up these meetings, and we're starting tomorrow on that. So look forward to hearing communication about that, getting phone calls. Look forward to signing up for appointments to meet with Marty and I or just myself. And we're going to discover together. We want to learn about you and your story, but your view of the story of the church is part of the developing relationships. The emphasis will be on communication. It's my intention, Lord willing, to really develop, improve, strengthen communication in this church. And let me tell you, you're already doing pretty good, but we want to do better. So look for a lot of different ways that we communicate to you what is going on. In fact, you should, as you're reading and observing and listening, find out that where the church is in this whole process, because most of you are already thinking ahead and wondering, why are we doing this interim period? Why can't we just call a new pastor and he can learn and grow from that? You will know when we get to that stage. You will know in this whole process of transitioning to a new pastor. What can you expect? You can expect us to connect with people and you to connect with others, maybe in ways you never have. There's some key tools here, these focused interviews, attending lots of meetings, and there's going to be many of them, but that's all part of it. These meetings, key meetings with staff, with the elders, with the council of ministers, and a little bit later down the road, not too much further, with what we call a transitional team. They'll be formed by some of you, not a big group, but this will be a guiding group of people that'll help the church move ahead. What are the core objectives of connecting with people? It's to get to know and develop relationships with people and the leaders of this church. It is also to discover potential transitional team members. We want to hear from you. That's the best way we can find out who the best people would be to serve the church in that way. Next comes assessing church health. Now we're getting into the second and third month of this transitional period. The key tools here are what we call the Natural Church Development Survey. This church, I believe, did one, but it's been 10 or more years ago. The reason I say that is because I've read your core values on the website, and your core values list the 8 characteristics that are measured in Natural Church Development. So I think you've had some exposure a long time ago. But basically, it's a measuring your church health and finding out what's your weakest part, what kind of ministries are really needed, and having that transitional team begin to develop what's there and work on that. Certainly, church ministry assessments and structure assessments in the church is part of that, of assessing the church health. Discovering reality. We'll do some reality checks together. Well, what are the core objectives there? It's first one is really grieving and letting go of Pastor Jim so that the new pastor who comes down the road can begin fresh and look ahead to leading you as pastor. you'll always love Pastor Jim. He was here 15 years. You walked through some great difficulties with him. But like any transition period, you have to adjust and you have to look forward now to the future in terms of senior pastor leadership, in terms of the direction of the church, the vision that God is giving your new shepherd. Discovering reality. Another core objective is determining what has been working in the church and what has not been working. If you are like any other church, and you are, you have some things that are working really well, but you have some things that maybe have been around a while and they aren't working so well anymore. We want to find that out. That's called assessing the needs of the church, and that's very much a part of what we'll be experiencing together. Third is examining and addressing current leadership and organizational needs. That's part of this transitional period, to look at that, to actually read the bylaws. That's a novel idea. Do you know your church has bylaws that guide its governance? Well, just taking a look at that, there are probably some changes that need to be there. Churches need to do this regularly, and those of us in this kind of ministry recommend at least every 3 years, and that hasn't been done here in a while. So we want to look at things like that. Those are the core objectives. The third stage, now we're moving along in time, and we're maybe 4 to 6 months down the road, because it takes that long to do a really good job and to have as many people involved as possible, to bring all hands on deck, if you will. And that's facilitating action, actually addressing some of the needs that we're discovering. The key tools there are church self-study and assessment. The results of that. It also helps to produce recommendations for action. You see, those come from you, not me, as an interim pastor. But you give direction as a church and as church members to that. And we want to work together to help make that happen. There are certain key meetings that will take place. The transitional team becomes very important about this stage and the development during transition. The elder team, the council ministers team, these key leadership groups in the church, teams, become very important to that. What are the core objectives in facilitating action? To resolve any conflicts or even sin issues. Yes, churches sin, not just individuals, but that happens. And you may not have any that you're aware of, but we certainly want to take a look and make sure that nothing is hidden under the rug in the tent. We want to discover if there's anything that we just really need to confess before God corporately and bring to God in prayer and give it up, repent, and turn from that, if there is. Issues that hinder kingdom effectiveness. Churches have these all the time. Even the biggest, most successful church in this country has issues that hinder its ability to minister effectively in communicating the Great Commission to the ends of the earth. So we want to take a look at that. Does it sound like work yet? There's a lot that needs to be done. But that's part of what you have decided to do as a church and moving in the right direction, so that more men and women, boys and girls, can be reached with the good news of Jesus Christ in Kitsap County and beyond. That's what you've been called to do by God. You want to begin acting on those recommendations. Then we get into strategic planning part of it, discerning direction as a whole. The key tool there is a strategic plan that is developed by your church leadership and that you all have an opportunity to invest in and to have ownership in. But again, the leadership becomes very important in that. Key meetings will be the transition team and the elder team. Pray for them. The objectives are to redefine and communicate the mission, values, and vision of this church. What is the vision for Olympic Evangelical Free Church? If the Lord should wait to return over the next 10 years. In 10 years, what will this church look like in your minds? What is your dream for this church? We wanted together to develop a strategic plan, including goals and objectives and action steps, so we know how to get there and whether or not we're following this roadmap that the Lord helps us to develop. And we want to refocus ministry and develop needed systems for effective ministry. These systems look entirely different today in this culture than they did 10 years ago even. So we want to walk through this time of strategic planning. The last thing, and as part of a transition, has to do with the search for a new pastor. This is what you're all looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the time when I can stand up here, my last Sunday, and pass the torch of leadership to the new pastor. And Marty and I will go right out the door, because it's not about us. We're looking forward and praying for that time. When that is, well, you'll know when that's going to come. We'll help you learn how to get there, and we'll do the work that's needed to get there. The key tool in meetings will be the pastor search team. They'll be hard at work in this. The core objectives: to recruit, assess, candidate, and call the new senior pastor. By the way, normally today takes about 9 months if you don't have an interim to call the pastor. About 9 months. Some churches take up to 2 years or more. A few, not many, take 3 to 6 months. But it takes time anyway. So it's no longer a matter simply of finding somebody quickly and getting them in as soon as you can and keep going the direction that you're going. That's not the idea. So these are the parts or the aspects about transition. Understanding. Now, if you have questions, please ask me. Email me, text me, call me, do what's needed. Bang me on the top of the head with a big hammer. I want to help you understand this as we walk through it together. Because I see my role primarily to be one of us as a strengthener, as an encourager, one who helps you as a church find that sense of new life in the Lord of the church and his plan for this community and this area and beyond. I think the best way today that we can end this little talk and message from God's word is to understand the importance of prayer. When I say all hands on deck, I'm calling people to pray, every single one of you. And I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, as I plead with myself, we need to pray every day. I know that we have an enemy working against this whole thing. Just this last week, I've experienced some of that spiritual warfare. You as a church have over the last few weeks. So I know that the enemy of the church does not want to see you be effective in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in this county and beyond. I know there's great opportunity, and I know definitely that there's a hope and a future for Olympic Evangelical Free Church. So we need all hands on deck to pray during this season of transition. The best way to do that is to invite you to pray individually. Let each other know you're praying. Let me know you're praying. And you need to ask me how I'm praying as we learn to pray together to lay the right foundation for this transition that's happening in the life of the church. We need all hands on deck for prayer to begin with. So, let me lead you in prayer.